Asura Indram unto the king of the demons, Bali Maharaj, Devi in the higher planetary system, Devataha, the residents known as the demigods, Gandharva, the Gandharvas, Vidyadhara, the Vidyadharas, Siddha, the residents of Siddhaloka, Charanaha, the residents of Charanaloka, Tat, that, Karma, action, Sarvepi, all of them, Granantaha, declaring, Arjavam, plain and simple, Prasuna Varshehi, with a shower of flowers, Vavrushu, released, Muda Anvita, being very pleased with him. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. At that time, the residents of the higher planetary system, namely the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Vidyadharas, the Siddhas and Charanas, all being very pleased by Bali Maharaj's simple, non-duplicitous act, excuse me, praised his qualities and showered upon him millions of flowers. Purport. Arjavam, simplicity or freedom from duplicity, is a qualification of a Brahmana and a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava automatically acquires all the qualities of a Brahmana. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchina sarvair gunais tatra samasate suraha. A Vaishnava should possess the Brahmanical qualities such as satya, shama, dama, titiksha and arjava. There cannot be any duplicity in the character of a Vaishnava. When Bali Maharaj acted with unflinching faith and devotion to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, this was very much appreciated by all the residents of the higher planetary system. Text 20. The Gandharvas, the Kimpurushas, and the Kinnaras. There's no purport. I'm just reading the translation. Yeah, okay. I'm just reading the translation just for continuity. Oh, 16 to 19, sorry. Okay, 16. So there's a continuity. Why this is the case? Why are they showering flowers? Shukadeva Goswami continued. This is text 16. Even after being cursed in this way by his own spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being a great personality, never deviated from his determination. Therefore, according to custom, he first offered water to Vamana Dev and then offered him the gift of land he had promised. Bali Maharaj's wife, known as Vindhyavali, who was decorated with a necklace of pearls, immediately came and had a large golden water pot brought there, full of water with which to worship the Lord by washing his feet. Bali Maharaj, the worshipper of Vamana Dev, jubilantly washed the Lord's lotus feet and then took the water on his head, for that water delivers the entire universe. And then today's verse. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So you know, when I'm usually giving class, I don't do it without asking questions. So you're ready for some questions? You ready? Do I have your permission? So consider this scenario. A devotee is with his spiritual master, and the devotee expresses they want to do such and such, something they want to do, some service, some, and they really like it very much. In their mind, they're very determined to do so. And the guru says, don't do it. And the guru gives reasons why not to do it. And then the disciple opens Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 20, text number 16, and says, even after being cursed in this way by his own spiritual master, Bali Maharaj never deviated from his determination. So we have, and we are supposed to follow Mahajan. Bali Maharaj is one of the Mahajanas. Yes, he did not change from his determination, even if his guru did not agree. So what's the problem, Guru Maharaj? What would you say? He's fixed in his determination. Evam shapatasva guruna, even being cursed by one's guru, satyanna chalito mahan, he did not deviate from his determination. And just for disclaimers, right? If you say that I want to start a rock band and the guru says no, then you can't quote this verse. He's saying satyan no chalita. He is determined in his truthfulness. So you want to offer some service to Krishna. He wants to offer some service to Vamandev. And the guru says don't do it. Jai Nitai Guru. You raised your hand?
In this context, the spiritual master is, his instructions aren't in alignment with a spiritual master who's a Vaishnava devotee of the Lord. So the spiritual may ask, you're comparing me to Shukracharya. And on those grounds, I mean, it's offensive, actually.
Why? Shukracharya a bad man?
Well,
Shukracharya is a very elevated Brahmana. You know the meaning of the word Shukracharya. Prabhupada writes, what does Shukra mean? Semen. That means he's like one of these, what they call Kula Guru. One of those gurus that the families have. Like that. Okay. What? Any other thoughts? If the guru is offended because he's been compared to Shukracharya, then I don't think necessarily that's the case. But
in both the cases, guru is trying to serve Krishna and the disciple is also trying to serve Krishna. But the subtlety in this point is that the disciple is attached to his service, which may not be good for him in his Krishna consciousness. And the long-term vision is not been seen by the disciple, but guru can see the long-term vision that, okay, it might be harm because he is attached to his service. It could be in the coming days or in the coming future, it could be hindering its progress in Krishna consciousness. So, just a stop.
Bali Maharaj is attached to doing some service, and Shukracharya sees the future that he'll become a beggar on the street.
That's fine, because Bhagavatam, everywhere Bhagavatam says that
it's okay to be a beggar on the street.
No. In Maharani Kunti's prayer, in 10th canto, Yasham Anugranami, everywhere is saying that if you go to Krishna, there's nothing wrong in that. So the Shukracharya has properly read Bhagavatam, and you should have told him that, okay, give it. He can quote the verses.
Shukracharya should have told him. Somehow he's not...
he can quote the verses.
Shukracharya somehow did not get it. Any other? Any other attempt? It's on.
Your question, Nityananda Pran, was the disciple wants to do a particular service, but the spiritual master says, don't do that service. So your question is, in this particular case, why is the disciple not doing the service that the spiritual master is asking for?
The question was, if a disciple quotes this verse, says it's fine, even Bali Maharaj did not listen because he was fixed in his determination. I'm determined.
Well, the problem here is that the spiritual master is asking for a service not to be done that is most obviously a service that should be done by virtue of the fact that it's giving charity. And the charity is specifically being requested by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that changes the whole picture.
Mm. Yeah. He's Paramatma Das, so he should know the answer, inspired by Super Soul.
Prabhu, the example can be quoted by a disciple or a devotee, but the context has to be understood very clearly, as Jinita Gaurari Prabhu was telling. Here, in the lineage of Parampara system, every spiritual master is trying to please his spiritual master and ultimately the Lord. And whatever the mood of a spiritual master will be transferred to the disciple, and everybody is in line to serve the Lord. But unfortunately, there a spiritual master is not allowing the disciple there, Bali Maharaj, not to do that or do the service of the Lord, which is not in line with the Parampara system, irrespective of anything.
Okay, fine. Let's consider. One disciple says to the Guru, I'm very inspired to do aratis every day. And the Guru says, no, don't do that. It's not good for you. He's not breaking the lineage or line and parampara, and somehow the Guru says, don't do that service, do some other service, something else, don't do that. And one may say, Archanam, Vandanam, what is going on? Why I cannot worship Krishna? We're all in the neighborhood of the answer. I'm just trying to churn the topic a little bit.
As a sadhana bhakta,
as a sadhana
not
bhakta,
imitate a mahajan and think that we can do our own way of devotional
Excellent.
Service. We have to follow completely by the orders of the spiritual master and senior devotees.
Very good. So all of you, Subal Prabhu. We have to understand our position in relation to Bali Maharaj.
I was going to add to that. This is the rare case of Guru Tyaga of rejecting the order of the spiritual master, which is, in general, the general principle is that one should obey the spiritual master, and that's in a situation that is rare, in which one is put in the position to reject the spiritual master, it have to be that the spiritual master is abandoning the principles of Krishna consciousness or religion. And then one can reject. But in the situation that the spiritual master is perfectly situated, one have to obey. So.
Very good. Thank you. So the situation of Bali Maharaj and Shukracharya is a very, very, very singular, exceptional situation. Because just prior to this, even for the offense of Indra not acknowledging the presence of Brihaspati. Brihaspati turned around and walked away. So for the demigods, just as there is Brihaspati, for the Daitas, there is Shukracharya. And just for the fact that Indra did not acknowledge Brihaspati and Brihaspati turned away, Indra lost all of his wealth and power and position and effulgence and vitality. Everything went away. And in this case, Bali Maharaj is intentionally not following. So it's a very, very, very exceptional case, first of all. Second of all, yes, as a disciple shouldn't acknowledge or use this as an example. It's a wrong example. It would be considered a violation of what's called academic integrity, that you quote Shastra according to your convenience. Generally what happens is we pick certain shlokas from Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita as they sound convenient to us, without understanding the totality of teachings. So it is quite possible that we lose that academic integrity and we pick and choose verses as we like. This picking and choosing is part of the weakness of one's understanding of scripture. A third reason, the reason Bali Maharaj here rejects Shukracharya, is although Shukracharya is quoting from Shastra, because he has quoted Shastra, Shukracharya is never going to deviate from Shastra. Although he is quoting from Shastra, he has quoted principles that are subordinate to the higher principle. And the higher principle is that when Vishnu himself is asking something, then that is the ultimate Shastra. Here's another example. In the Mahabharata, we've discussed this just last week, Krishna walks up to Yudhishthir Maharaj and tells him, you should speak a lie so that we can have Dronacharya not fight anymore. We need him to die, and he would not die till his son is dead and Ashwatthama is undefeatable. So we have to tell him somehow that Ashwatthama is dead. And he chose Yudhishthir Maharaj to say it. And Yudhishthir Maharaj said, oh, no, 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 no. I cannot. Here, that's the phrase, text 16, Satyan na chalita mahan. Satyan na chalita. He did not move from the truth or his determination. So Yudhishthir Maharaj is also known as Satyavan, always truthful. So he said no. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes, it's at that point, usually before that, Yudhishthir Maharaj's chariot never touched the ground. It was a hovercraft. The wheels never touched the ground. It is said that those who are elevated personalities, they generally will never touch the ground. Therefore, when you see the demigods, the Vidyadharas, the Charanas, the Siddhas, and they descend to earth, they don't touch the ground. They're floating in the air, if you will. In fact, that's one of the references used in Bhagavatam, 4th canto, when King Puranjana meets this woman and she's so angelic. He wants to ask her, are you a demigoddess? He says, but your feet are touching the ground, so you must not be one. You must be a human being, but how are you so much like a demigoddess? So that's the sign. But as soon as Yudhishthir Maharaj disagreed, it is said that his chariot now was like one of our vehicles, touched the ground. So satyavan na chalita is where he disagreed. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to lie or the guru will say speak a lie. It's never like that. But the understanding of that when a guru is fixed in his position, then what he says is what Krishna is saying. And you go a few more verses previously, text number 14, and there is a very interesting catchphrase there. I'm going to read it. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, "Thereafter, the spiritual master Shukracharya, drum roll, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, cursed his exalted disciple." Being inspired by Krishna. So, one has to understand that in all of, at least this pastime, everything is being orchestrated by Vamanadev himself. Shukracharya is being inspired by Krishna to say certain things. It is to show Bali Maharaja's character. This whole pastime, you have to understand, persons like Shukracharya, the demigods, and the common people, they all are instruments in the hands of the Supreme Lord for one purpose, to glorify his devotees. So when we find Shukracharya acting particular way, it is described that because Shukracharya was insecure, what will happen to him? Because he is one of the persons who gets his sustenance from Bali Maharaj. Regardless of that, he's being inspired. He's a Brahmin. He's being inspired from the Lord within to curse Bali Maharaj. And yet Bali Maharaj is, and this is the point where Bali Maharaj's full character as a pure devotee shines forth. And the thing is, even if I have to be cursed by my guru, so again, it's a very exceptional situation, even if I will not deter from the position of serving the Lord. Now, the example of a spiritual master telling a disciple, don't do certain service, is not the same as this one. In this case, Bali Maharaj is being asked, don't do any service at all. That's the distinction. He is not being told, you serve Vamanadev differently. He is being told, don't do service at all. And in the interactions with one's guru, the guru may say, this service is better than that service for you because of your condition. But it will always be within the realm of, you should serve Vishnu or Krishna. If the guru says, which he will never say, but if he says, no, don't do this service, go smoke a cigarette. Or don't do any service at all. Then is a question, it's like, what's going on? So one should be careful how one pulls a verse from Bhagavatam to say, Bali Maharaj was fixed in his determination. The determination is that under all circumstances, including the worst situation of being cursed by one's guru, that one will not step out of the realm of bhakti. This is the determination. That come what may. Usually in other cases, one may become poor, one may become impoverished, one may, you know, lose their position. All that's fine. But the worst is to be cursed by one's superior. Even then, one will not move from the position of being a servant of Krishna. Now this is the simplicity that's being spoken about. And that simplicity was so powerful. So when we act in some ways that exemplifies simplicity, we don't find flowers being showered upon us. But Bali Maharaj, when he exhibits the simplicity, the residents of the higher planetary systems, their attention is taken by Bali. And they all assemble and shower flowers, millions of flowers. What's the phrase used here? Uh, prasuna varshay vavrushu. Prasuna varshay, with a shower of flowers. Vavrushu means released. What are they celebrating? They're celebrating the epitome of determination of serving Krishna. And it's a very, it's the highest form of simplicity. Because there are no other considerations that are happening inside. That's the simplicity being spoken about. This heart is very direct. I want to serve Vamanadev. And he's not thinking, oh, I'm a better devotee than Shukracharya. That's not in his brain at all. In his whole being, there's only one consideration. He's also not thinking, I'm a devotee and that's why I should do it. Even that can be considered arrogance or pride. He's thinking, I'm the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So how can I act in a way that brings some infamy to Prahlad Maharaj? That is his humility. If he were to think, I'm a devotee, I should do this, it's pride. He's considering himself not just a servant, but a servant of the servant. That's the glory, in a very simple but profound way. That the great persons of the higher planets have shown up. Wow, who's this person? And in the Bhagavatam you find persons like that, who, even though cursed by their guru, they stay fixed. Guru in this sense is now like the higher or superior, because that superior was either being unreasonable, at least in their perspective, or unrealistic, still. They were determined to serve. In the ninth canto is the story of a king. Man, I was walking in and I remembered the name and I forgot now. Okay, I'll say the story, see if you remember the name. No, I didn't say the story. How do you know the name? There was a king. There's a discussion of the descendants of the Sun dynasty. And in that is a particular king. Name starts with a P. P? Yeah. So, he was a very nice devotee of the Lord. And although Kshatriya, he didn't really have so much interest in ruling over a kingdom. His interest was just to take care of the cows. So one night he decided that I will stand guard at the barn. So he took his sword and he stood outside the cow barn, the barn. It happened to be a new moon night, so the sky was dark and they didn't have lights. Something had happened to the elevator, so there were no lights in the kingdom. And so he stood there in the darkness, couldn't see a thing. Suddenly in the dead of night, a tiger attacked the barn. And you know, you can't see the tiger, but as soon as there is a predator in the area, the cows became restless. Somehow they sense. So the cows started mooing and there was commotion in the barn and he couldn't see anything, and he heard the growl of a tiger. And in that whole commotion, he thought that the tiger was very close by. He took his sword and as soon as he swished his sword, there was dead silence. So he thought, hey, and he thought, I killed the tiger. Next morning, when the sun was rising, he saw that he had not killed a tiger, he had accidentally cut off the head of a cow. That's called Gohatya. Yani kani cha papani Brahmahatya Adhikanicha. So greater than that is Brahmahatya, killing of a Brahmin. He had killed a cow. He stood there to serve the cows and he killed the cow. Vashishta, who was there, the head, I guess, the guru or the superior there, came and looked and said, "What have you done? How can you be so foolish? I curse you to become a Shudra in your next life, because you acted very Shudra-like." So let me pause and ask you a question. What was Vasishtha thinking? What was going on? And who's Vasishtha? It's not some Tom, Dick and Harry. Vasishtha, one of the great seven sages at the time of Swayambhuva Manu. Why are they called sages at this? Every time there is a change of Manu, then Manu brings his own cabinet. He brings the demigods, the 33 million demigods. He brings the special set of sub-demigods. They're called Upadevatas. And then he brings the seven sages. They are his advisory board. And those seven sages, they observe and they advise Indra and they observe how the universe is going on. So this is very elevated persons. Homework for you is to find out who the seven sages are right now under Vaivaswata Manu. Okay? But during Swayambhuva Manu, Vasishtha is one of those great persons, one of the seven sages. I think it's called the Big Dipper. If you see in the sky, the seven sages. Isn't it called the Big Dipper? Yeah. So that's the place where all these seven sages live. So Vasishtha, and then he's the advisor for Lord Ramchandra. He's not an ordinary person. He was the advisor for Dasharatha Maharaj, he was the advisor for Lord Ram. And he walks up to this king and he says, "I curse you to be a Shudra." In fact, if you read the Bhagavatam, it is extremely unreasonable. That curse doesn't make any sense. He just spoke it. Now, it's not like Vasishtha doesn't know what he's doing, but it's a curse. Now, the king could have said, "Hari Bol, it was dark. I couldn't see. I was trying to protect the cow. It's a genuine mistake. Please forgive me." Or, "Why are you cursing me? It doesn't make any sense." Right? Not a word. Not a word is described. He folded his hands and said, "So be it." And that gave him an impetus to become even a stronger devotee than he was. And so it's described that he just left his kingdom and wandered in the forest, only doing one thing, meditating on Vishnu, chanting his name. So with time, he had reached his position of a very, very high caliber devotee. His devotional service matured. And one day as he was wandering, there was a forest fire. He just walked into the fire and gave up his body. Because he had become so detached from the body that at this point it didn't matter. So then naturally we know what happens. Tatha deha antara prapti. Tatha deha antara prapti. One receives another body after leaving this body. Do you know what happened to him? A Brahman's curse never goes wrong, correct? Prashadhra, that's the name of the king. Prashadhra. Instead of becoming a Shudra, he went back to Vaikuntha in his spiritual body. And so it's the situation is described in the Bhagavatam for this reason. That the power of devotional service is so amazing that it can even counteract the curse of a Brahmin. That's the power. And a Brahmin is not an ordinary Brahmin. He is Vasishtha caliber. I'm going to ask you a trick question very soon. Is the Vasishta caliber Brahman who cursed still? He became a pure devotee and went back to Vaikuntha. That's the power. Now, back to first canto. When Parikshit Maharaj put the dead snake around Shamika Rishi's neck, he was cursed by a Brahmin boy who was not even considered Brahmin. He's still in high school. And he uttered a curse without thinking, without any maturity, nothing. He said, oh, the Kshatriyas, they're arrogant. They don't understand. They're subordinate to the Brahmanas. I curse this fellow to die in 7 days. How come that curse did not turn around? Of course, it could have been easily. Parikshit Maharaj, with his own bhakti power, could have said, forget it. And nothing would have happened. But he died. Why? Why is one Brahman's curse not working and another Brahman, not even Brahman, it's called Dvijabandhu, his curse worked? We have to consider these things in Bhagavatam for exercising our intelligence. Please.
Is a question?
Yes.
Because in the very next few verses after that, Prabhupada says that Krishna is in the situation. Krishna is in the situation so that, and he allowed the Brahmin boy, the high school boy, to curse because because boys are never punished. So forgive him and to give Parikshit Maharaj a chance.
So let's consider all the reasons. So first one was, so let's list them. Why the Brahmin boy's curse came true. First of all, what was that curse? What was the reason?
Why the Brahmin boy cursed? Because Krishna is in the situation.
First of all, Krishna arranged the situation. But Krishna also arranged Vasishtha to curse. Okay? Okay. So Krishna arranged for the situation. Okay. What else? Ah, okay. That's another reason. Okay, please give her the mic.
Like that was one of the symptoms that Kali Yuga had like officially begun. Like the with the falling of the Brahmana like race.
Correct. So the Dvijabandhus, they utter words, that's the beginning of Kali Yuga. So that's an event to kickstart Kali Yuga. Any other?
Parikshit Maharaj accepted the curse. Like
Parikshit Maharaj accepted the curse. Here Bali Maharaj accepted the curse. He accepted. Why? He could have counteracted it. Why did he not counteract it?
He felt bad for putting the snake around the Brahmin, right? Did it say that he felt bad for what he did?
He was taking responsibility for his own action. And Krishna is demonstrating to us that even though he is the emperor of the world, even for a small act like that, he feels that if death has to come upon me, so be it. Okay, another reason. Okay, I'll list. Another reason is that Parikshit Maharaj is being a perfect instrument of Krishna. Somehow these personalities, they have this very unique skill that they know, somehow they know what to do at what circumstance as an instrument of Krishna. And it's not a consideration they go through. Parikshit Maharaj was not sitting on his throne thinking, should I be an instrument of Krishna? It's just the nature is such. They're like that. Because they're transparency with Krishna is so amazing that they don't have to go through an intellectual consideration. It's just their nature. That's another one. Another reason. Yes, Subal Prabhu.
Well, there is the reason of the appearance of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Just as Krishna had kick-started Kali Yuga, so to counteract Kali Yuga, then there has to be the Bhagavatam. So In Kali Yuga, the Bhagavatam is the most effective means, because where Bhagavatam can reach, human beings per se cannot reach so easily. So we find that Prabhupada, his Bhagavatam, went behind the iron curtain, even if Prabhupada himself could not go. Somehow or the other, the books were smuggled, or they went through the very, very stringent, restricted areas that otherwise would not be possible. So in Kali Yuga, Bhagavatam is the surreptitious or the secretive way that Krishna moves. This is one of the reasons in Kali Yuga he's called invisible or channa, is hidden, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also comes as a devotee and as the Bhagavatam, so it's not visible like that. So these are all the reasons why even the curse of a Brahman had some benefit for everyone else. So Krishna knows how to take care of his devotees. And here Vamandev, he's asked for 3 paces of land, and Bali Maharaj has promised, I will give. So despite Shukracharya's warning, don't do it, he understands, all right, I lose my kingdom. I fought very hard for this. And just consider for a moment, before this situation, in a war, Bali Maharaj had died. He had died. Shukracharya brought him back to life. Imagine the kind of gratitude one should have for someone who saved their life. And he's expressing no to the very person who brought him back to life. So it must be something very, very hard. It's not, you know, someone did a favor and you say no. Someone saved his life. They brought him back from the dead. And to such a person he said no. It's a very big thing. So Bali Maharaj is concerned, although this person gave me life, although this person saved me, I was dead, he brought me back to life. But service to Vishnu stands above that. And for this I'll be cursed, I understand. For this I'll lose all my vitality, I understand. For this I will lose all glory, I'll be punished, I'll be disgraced. Fine. But service to Vishnu stands above all of that. That is his glory. And this is not ended. Now the worst is, you know, there's what's called adding insult to injury. After this, now Vamandev is going to do something even more drastic to Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj does not protest even a bit. That's his glory. So we can appreciate when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Aslishyava Padaratam Pinashtumam Adarshanan Marmahatam Garotuva Yathadathava Vidadhatu Lampato Mat Prananathastu Sa Eva Na Aparaha. If you give me a loving embrace, wonderful. If you make me broken hearted by not being visible to me, that's okay too. If you crush me, that's fine. But you will always be my Lord. That is the highest form, right? And Bali Maharaj will be like that. His character is going to now start shining brighter and brighter and brighter. And Vamandev will test him to a very, very intense degree to show us what kind of character that they have, that there's no limit to that quality. So that's the joy of Bhagavatam. Wow, such persons existed, huh? Very nice. That's the appreciation. Despite being cursed by the very person who gave him life. Still. Okay, any comments, questions?
Prabhu, I have 2 questions here. One thing is how to understand that Brihaspati's curse did not work actually.
Where?
Vasishtha's
curse.
Vasishtha's curse on that Brahmana. Okay. Of course, I understand that devotional service is much more powerful. But at the same time, we hear that Brahmana is not an ordinary person anyways. That's my first question. And second question is, you are saying that these people are like instruments. They're naturally, you know, they do what Lord wants. So how one will reach that stage?
When? Tomorrow.
How?
Oh, how? Karmani nirdahati chakintu bhakti bhajam. This is in Brahma Samhita. That the potency of bhakti is that it can burn any reaction, including the curse of a very exalted Brahman. It's possible. Now they're all instruments. So Vashishta's curse is also to bring about the greatness of Prishadra. Otherwise we never hear about Prishadra. It's there in the Bhagavatam. And specifically the story is narrated to show what a wonderful person he was. That even if it was curse of Vashishta, it didn't. Because Krishna can change that. It was possible. Because Krishna is intervening. That's the important thing. That our confidence should be that in our practice of bhakti, if we say, if our practice of bhakti is sincere and genuine, in all circumstances, Krishna's intervention will be there. Now, Krishna's intervention, we should not think necessarily as this is how it should be. Because in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, when he was in the womb and he was being charred by the Brahmastra, Lord Vishnu came. Then a Brahmin boy who's not even as strong as Brahmastra cursed him, but Krishna did not show up and let him die. But Krishna showed up as the Bhagavatam, as the whole opportunity for him to hear the Bhagavatam. So in this case, he protected his body. In this case, he protected his Krishna consciousness. Even if the body were to go away. So Krishna is not one dimensional. He knows how, in the ultimate, Krishna is always protecting one's Krishna consciousness. That is the assurance. Neha bhikramana shyoste. So it didn't work. Because a Brahmin's curse definitely has potency. And it will work. But higher than that is Krishna's intervention. And how was the second question? How we will get there? Well, just continue what we are doing. Just continue our practice of sadhana bhakti as given by our founder Acharya. Then the layers between us and Paramatma get removed. Right? Isn't that verse in the second chapter of Bhagavatam? Bidhyate hridaya granthi, chidyate sarvashamshaya, kriyate chasya karmani, drushta eva atmanishvare. One can see, and Prabhupada writes, self-realization and God-realization occur simultaneously. So what's there between us and Krishna right now is the knot in the heart, the doubts, and all of those things. And karmic reactions.
I was supposed to raise many questions, but one thing struck me, that Shukracharya saved the life of the Bali Maharaj, and to go against that person will save your life. That's, I'm putting my situation that if someone saved my life and he's saying me, then do this, and if I don't do, but I still have some questions. Let's say if the Shukra, you told that a guru can say that this service is not good for you, or this service is good for you, you don't do this, you don't do this. But here, in the case of when I'm seeing in Bali Maharaj and Shukracharya, Shukracharya is directly saying that you don't serve Krishna.
Yes, now, that's what I said.
Now let's say if you don't consider scriptures, but you told that the devotee doesn't require intellectual considerations because of the transparency of relationship.
Pure devotee.
Pure devotees. Yes. Let's say pure devotees, not sadhakas. And even if we consider scripture, you told that Bhagavatam is the secret ways where Krishna is coming in Kali Yuga. very first thing we learn in Bhagavatam is Tasmat Guru Prapadyate, and it should be Shabda Pare Cha Nishnatam. It should not only be Shabda Brahmani Nishnatam, but it should be Shabda Pare. So if it's not, even when you get initiation from Guru, Guru is saying that first thing Guru teaches is that you should go to Krishna. If Guru is saying against Krishna, like our Guru, Aum Guru is saying that, don't support that Guru. Then how can we understand this? Because when we look at the scriptures also, you told that we cannot use the wrong way of scripture. But scripture is totally saying that Tasmat Guru Prapadyate Shabda Pare, he should be Pare. And here is going against Pare. So how can we support this statement? Are you understanding my question? Okay. Shukracharya.
Can you dumb it down and think that you're speaking to a 5-year-old?
Sure. Shukracharya is saying that don't go to Krishna at all.
Right.
Let's say if we don't look at scriptures, but pure devotee has no intellectual consideration, his transference is very pure. So in that case, he has done the right, correct thing. Let's say if the Kaliyuga people, the only means for Kaliyuga people is to refer Shastras. And with Shastra, the first thing we're getting from Shastra, anywhere, Bhakti Rav Samit Sindhu, Bhagavatam, Shabda Pare, not Shabda Brahmani. So how, our basis are Shastra only. How can we go against Shastra? How can we quote the Shastra the wrong way?
Because we are not pure devotees, our reference is only scripture. Correct? That's what you're saying?
Of
why? Let's say we are not pure devotees. We are not pure.
We are not pure devotees at all.
No doubt in there. There's no doubt.
We are not pure devotees at all. Let's say we are not. Oh, we are not pure devotees at all. No, I'm putting it that way. But our basis of advancing in the spiritual life, a level of sadhaka also, is scriptures.
Right.
Because we are not learning Bhagavatam
so
just for learning.
For us, it is not only scripture. There is the support of guru and sadhu. If we just read scripture on our own, we will get wrong message. It is like going to a, Prabhupada uses the phrase, scripture is like pharmacy. Without doctor's prescription, you will look at the names and say, I like that name, give me that medicine. That will be the medicine for dysentery. If you are having loose motion, nice name, give me that one. Even more. Or if constipated, I want that one, that sounds nice. Even more constipated. The point is, scripture always has, especially in Kali Yuga, has to be supported by Guru and Sadhu. So without consulting with others, very risky.
Perfect. Let's say it should be consulted by Guru and Shastra. Guru. Shastra should be consulted by Guru.
And Sadhu.
And Sadhu. Let's say Guru and Sadhu, first thing when we get initiation from Guru, or first thing we're getting direction from Sadhu, is that Guru should speak about Krishna. If Guru is not speaking about Krishna, then that Guru is...
So those things have meaning. If Guru is not speaking of Krishna, someday Guru is speaking of architecture. It doesn't mean he's not speaking of Krishna.
When Guru is speaking about
it's for Krishna. Right. That's
oh,
what
Krishna.
I said. That is what I said. And we should be careful that a disciple shouldn't necessarily challenge if he says do this service instead of that service. In this exceptional case, he's just saying don't do any service. That's the... So then his sense of gratitude that this person has saved my life is superseded by, in my constitutional nature, I have to serve Krishna. That is what I've learned from Prahlad Maharaj, and therefore I'm doing that.
What is the result of when we follow our own way of doing service?
What is the result of when we follow our own way of doing service?
Yeah, like when we choose like the rock band thing, or we choose what the way we think that we should serve instead of following directions.
We will get 6 things. Again, we'll get a mind and 5 senses. And they'll be configured differently in a different form. In one of the 8,400,000 species of life. repeated birth and death. And not because we chose, because when we follow the mind, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one who follows the mind, they receive five senses clustered around the mind according to the desire of the mind. Chapter 15. In chapter 15, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, as a person follows the mind, they get another set of senses that are clustered around the mind, and it continues. Manasashtanendriyani prakriti sthanikarshati. So when a person just moves with the mind, it's dangerous. Because the mind today will take them from this to that, and very soon from that to something else, from there to something else, and before one knows. Now, sometimes the spiritual master allows it to happen. You know the story of Prabhupada, someone came and said, I'd like to play the guitar and start a band. And Prabhupada said, okay. And previously that morning, Prabhupada's lecture was not to do something against the order of the guru. And when this person said, I'd like to do something like this, Prabhupada said, okay. So he was questioned, why did you say yes? And Prabhupada's answer was, he would have done it anyway. And that would have been worse for him. But by my saying okay, it is still within the boundaries of the guru sanctioned it. So it is save him. Versus if the guru says no and you do it, then you're outside that boundary of protection of the guru's words. Does that address for you? Perhaps my answer is too drastic to get another set of senses in mind. But that's the direction one is going. It may not be an immediate reaction. But one as if we have been following the mind for how many lifetimes?
Even in like devotional service, if we like go based on our mind how we want to serve.
There is room for, this was your question a few months ago, there is room for what's called, initiative. One can take an initiative, nothing wrong with that, that's fine. As long as it is within the realm of bhakti, generally okay. But it should be confirmed by guru and sadhu, otherwise we're following the mind. Subhal Prabhu had something.
I wanted to ask you about you quoted text 14 in which Sukadev Goswami says that Sukacharya inspired by Krishna, by the Super Soul, did the course. And reading it like that, of without the full context, one can think, well, then it's Krishna's responsibility, or more or less, obviously he's orchestrating, as you explain, he's orchestrating the whole pastime. Now, how, if you can explain the responsibility, the choice that situation of making a choice. Sukacharya is making a choice at a particular point. He is in the same situation of choosing as Bali Maharaj when Vamanadev arrived, but he's making a choice not to acknowledge and serve Bali Vamanadev. So how is that? Then we can say that the Lord is orchestrating this when there is a choice that Sukracharya is making.
There are two verses in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, "Matasmatir jnanam apohanam cha." I am the one who inspires knowledge, memory and forgetfulness. So in that sense, Krishna is always prompting. Now, Krishna's prompt is according to ye yatha mam prapadyante. According to one's disposition towards Krishna, one will get a prompt. For example, even the murderers are prompted, not that he should go murder the person, not like that, but the prompt or the sanction comes from Krishna. Now, Shukracharya is not just some random guy. He's a very, very exalted person. And as a Brahmin, so I'm sure he's a very pure in his practices, not like he's impure, very pure in his practice. He had the special gift of bringing someone back to life from the dead. In the Mahabharata, there's a whole story. The demigods, they send certain disciple to become his student to learn the art of coming back from the dead. There's a whole story to it. So he's very pure, no doubt. So according to his Brahmanical power, he's being inspired. So he's making a choice, and the choice he's making is mixed with, this is where the difference of pure versus mixed shows up. He's mixed with his own considerations. At that point, Shukracharya is mixed as a Brahman. And higher than Brahman is Vaishnav. So it's a mixed situation. So when we get inspiration from Krishna, very likely it is mixed. The inspiration comes from a mixed position, mixed platform. You know, I have genuine intention to serve Krishna and it's mixed with my fruitive desire. This is Mishra Bhakti. So accordingly we get an inspiration from Krishna. In this case it's Mishra, it's mixed. Mixed with fruitive desire. Prabhupada writes in the purport, it's mixed with fruit of desire. That is why, and then Bali Maharaj's reference now becomes Prahlad Maharaj. This is what Prahlad Maharaj, I'm in that lineage where it is free of fruit of desire. I'm choosing that one. They have the ability to distinguish that.
Shukracharya is actually acknowledging Vamanadeva. He's saying
right.
He's the personality of Godhead.
Right.
You know, and so he did acknowledge, but his approach towards Vamanadeva is mixed with all that.
Yeah. So yeah. We there are many persons who are practicing devotees. We can come in front of Kishore Kishori. This is the supreme personality of Godhead, the bestower of bhakti. Can you please take care of my material situation here? It's mixed. I mean, it's not bad. It's mixed. The same. You're seeing Vamana there. They're saying, be careful. It's a mixed situation. Make karma mishra. I'm afraid to even say Shukracharya is mishra. Is such a great person. But that's the situation. One thing I heard from our Guru Maharaj many years ago, and it has stuck with me, I haven't been able to reach there. He said, there is high-grade goodness and there is bhakti. Actually, high-grade goodness activities look just like bhakti, but they're not bhakti. So Shukracharya is in a very high-grade goodness platform, but not bhakti. So from our vantage point, we can't distinguish so easily what it is. Because high grade goodness is so similar.
Well, there is some bhakti, you say, that is mixed, no?
Right.
In that
case.
That
is why high grade goodness is still goodness platform, but yeah. Some mixture.
The Bhagavatam's filled with seemingly perplexities that bring us actually to a higher understanding when we walk ourselves through it. But I was, you know, like we have Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. It's, you know, Krishna meets you where you're at. One thing I was just thinking about that you brought up, that you hear from time to time, is dog eaters, you know, are the lowest. But actually, aren't cow eaters even lower, probably?
Right.
Yeah. So why isn't that, you know, presented that way?
I don't know. Oh. I can speculate something, but I don't know.
Maybe we should ask Ronald McDonald. I don't know. I just Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I could speculate, but I don't know. Okay. I don't know specifically why.
Uh-huh. Okay. I mean, you know, Prabhupada said, you know, well, you know, eat goats or
sometimes
sheep.
The reference is given in a way that we can come to our own conclusion. For example, the lowest is dog eater, right? And then you consider, oh my gosh, cow eater? How low must that be? For me, that's how it seems. Kali Yuga would not say cow eaters. Then we would say, oh, they're okay. They're part of what Bhagavatam refers to. Doesn't even refer to the lowest is dog eaters. Oh, how far low must those guys be?
Well, Kali Yuga, everything's upside down, so.
So they're on the top.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.